Hi, I'm Dave Scott. Welcome to Living by the Words of God. I recently heard C.S. Lewis quoted as saying, "I read because I want to see through eyes other than my own." He understood the advantage of seeing life from a different perspective, even a human perspective. I would like to adapt his expression as we examine our approach to the Bible, that we might read the Bible to see through eyes other than our own, God's eyes as a matter of fact, that we would be willing to see our lives and our world from God's perspective. Many parts of Scripture are undoubtedly difficult to interpret and understand, but overall, the Bible is not the mysterious book we sometimes make it out to be. Yes, Jesus spoke at times in parables, and the New Testament refers to the mysteries of God, but as a human author writes so that people may read and follow his point, so God wrote his book that people with believing hearts might read it and understand. The question for the moment is, am I willing to see differently? Am I willing to allow the words of God to help me see as God sees? We should be very careful of our motives when we shroud the Bible in mystery. Often this is just an excuse to cover our sinful actions and attitudes. As we grow in our faith and in our knowledge of Scripture, we will come to realize that the Bible is much more specific than we first thought it was. The believing heart welcomes new insight. The believing heart is eager for specific words of instruction. Contrary to that, the wayward heart, which is often a very religious heart, likes the flexibility of ambiguity and generalities. But the person with the wayward heart doesn't see with the eyes of God, regardless of how much Bible content he acquires. Jesus addressed the dull-hearted religious people in this way.
Matthew 13:13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive."
Did you notice that Christ quoted Isaiah to rebuke the people of his day? From Isaiah to Christ to now, every generation has a significant group of people who have an interest in God and the Bible, but do not have a real interest in changed hearts and lives. They see Bible truth without seeing a meaningful connection with their lives. They live in the generalities of abstract information, but they do not grasp the specifics. In contemporary terms, they don't get it. Today we are going to look at a method of study that will help us see the specifics in the words of God, a method that requires a certain amount of work, but work that is well worth the time and energy. The believing heart hungers for specifics that will direct his life closer to God. The believing heart is eager to receive God's words.
Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Hi, I'm Carrie Scott. Today we will be in Lesson 8, Breaking It Down. Here is an overview. We will introduce diagramming and parallelism and give some examples and principles. Remember that because of the extended length of the study and the nature of the content, we will send you a printed copy of these notes free of charge and next week's notes for Lesson 9 if you will contact us locally in Terre Haute at 466-9503 or toll free at 1-888-419-4418. Dave has also placed these notes on our website as free downloads. Diagramming could easily be overlooked in a discussion of Bible study aids because diagramming sentences probably doesn't seem to be very spiritual. You may be thinking, hey, I got over English grammar in high school. But we assure you that we would not waste the space and your time if this were not an excellent tool. Do you remember when we began Part 2 and Dave highlighted an English dictionary saying how important it was to know the meanings of the words we read in our Bibles? Well, how the words fit and work together is also essential to understanding God's message. If we can pick up even a few simple ways to break down the structure of phrase or sentence or verse to understand God's thought better, we will boost our study. Be patient and let Dave acquaint you with the process or reacquaint you with the process and you will see the rewards. If you will call us, we will steer you toward some websites and written material, which will give you an excellent starting point for diagramming. If you have internet access, you will find this information in the notes we have made available.
I introduced today's lesson, trying to draw our attention to God's intent to share the specifics of His Word with people who have believing hearts, who are willing to see differently as God directs. Here are some questions that God answers very specifically and that diagramming can help us to find the answers. How can I be a person of hope? Do I want a life that is effective and productive? What is Scripture profitable for? When does truth really make me free? And what is the true character of gossip? In diagramming sentences, we break the sentence into parts, such as subject, verb, direct object. Illustrating the verse in this way also yields several insights and observations as we compare parts to parts. Our first example will be taken from Proverbs 11:13 in the NIV. Please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 11:13.
A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret.
Okay, pretend that you see me standing in front of our virtual whiteboard. I'm going to draw a long horizontal line and then divide that line in thirds with two vertical lines. In our verse, we have two parallel phrases. The subject, verb, and direct object of our first phrase are gossip, betrays, and confidence. I will write these three words in the three brackets above the horizontal line. The subject, verb, and direct object of our second phrase are trustworthy man, I know trustworthy is a modifier, keeps, and secret. Place these in the three brackets below the horizontal line. Immediately, our combination of diagramming and parallelism yields some insight. For instance, look at the parallel illustrated with the subjects. In parallelism, this is called antithetical parallelism because it gives opposite ideas or contrasts. Here we have gossip positioned on the line above trustworthy man. In this way, we clearly see the contrast. The gossip and the trustworthy man are opposites. Can you see the help in this as more specifics are revealed? We may think that gossip is harmless, maybe even joke about it. The person who has a good friend who is a gossip may not want to know the specifics of the character of a gossip, but our diagram is revealing. Here are a few insights that our diagram yields. The gossip is not a trustworthy person. In fact, the gossip is a person who betrays your confidence. The gossip does not keep a secret. So, who do I not want to tell my secret to or place my confidence in? Can you see the benefit of learning to identify and organize this information? Look at what I was able to observe in just a very brief time. In the writing stage of our process, I might diagram this sentence on a blank piece of paper and just start writing down my thoughts as fast as they come, then stop and think about it and possibly write some more. It is also very helpful to use non-traditional, informal ways of diagramming. I find it extremely valuable in my initial approach to a verse or verses to use some form of diagramming to help me see the relationship of the words and phrases to each other, the flow of the verse, and an overview. No rules here. The well-worn phrase, if it works for you, certainly applies. Becoming familiar with the rules of grammar and understanding the structure of a sentence will help you even with your informal methods of diagramming because you will learn to identify apples with apples and oranges with oranges. For instance, in the first example I gave, you can clearly identify the subjects, gossip, trustworthy man, the verbs, betrays, keeps, and the direct objects, confidence, and secret. For some, this is very easy to do. For others, this may seem a daunting task. Don't let this intimidate you. You can do it. Do you remember that one of my earlier questions was, what is the Scripture profitable for? We can answer that with a simple diagram of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay, if you have the notes, you will see how this is laid out. I will try to describe our diagram for those who do not. A reminder, there are no rules in doing this. In formal diagramming, such as Reed Kellogg, there are rules, of course, but here we are just working our thoughts out on some scratch paper. I have examples of this also in the notes. So let's take our paper and write all Scripture with three lines drawn to the right, pointing to given by inspiration of God. Then I have a bracket enclosing all of that, pointing to the right to profitable for. What we have so far is that all Scripture is 1. Given, 2. By inspiration, 3. Of God. And this whole package we just described is profitable for what? Continue your diagram with four lines drawn to the right, pointing to doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Now we have what is probably the most direct reference in the Bible pertaining to the profitable use of the Word of God. However, we are not finished because the verse continues with that, which further completes our thought by directing us to the purpose. So, in our diagram, we draw a line from doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness to the word that. Then, draw a line from that to the man of God may be complete, then a line to thoroughly equipped, then a line to for every good work. What I would do next on my paper would be to write down more observations or questions, such as, am I studying the Bible to prepare myself to serve God? If the purpose is to equip me for every good work, to prepare me to serve God, then I need to approach the words with that in mind. If not, it seems a person could legitimately ask, then what is the purpose? Another question could be, am I studying the Bible to have my life changed? The prophet is in change. The prophet words, as in P-R-O-F-I-T, direct me to transformation, change, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. So, if I am not interested in change, then what is the prophet? Maybe I should ask myself. If I am not pursuing what is profitable, and if I am missing the purpose, then why am I going to Bible study? Did we happen to notice that nowhere in this very direct text dealing with the profitability and purpose of Scripture are we exhorted to merely gather and discuss interesting facts and accumulate Bible content? I hope you see that in using this approach, we allow the text to continue unfolding God's truth.
Psalm 119:130. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
This study today was quite a challenge. In the book, Lesson 8 covers 18 pages. I encourage you to go to the website and download both Lessons 8 and 9, or call and we will send you printed copies. I hope that I have somehow whetted your appetite for this very powerful helper in understanding God's truth. I would like to finish with some principles. 1. Don't force the issue. As with your entire study approach, let things develop. More specifically, give God the greatest opportunity to speak to you through your willing spirit and disciplined approach. Secondly, get it right. Pursue accuracy to the best of your ability. Try to make sure your comparisons are valid. Apples to apples, oranges to oranges. Next, don't be fearful. Yes, get it right. Pursue accuracy, but don't be afraid to make a mistake. An honest mistake is not what God will frown on. We are all far from perfect. What is displeasing to Him is a stiff-necked, unrepentant attitude. We bow before God. We do our best. We step forward with courage and confidence. Next, right now, qualify later. Once you are satisfied with how you have diagrammed your verse, then you are free to write down your thoughts. Don't qualify here. Get it all down, and later you can bring your thoughts under more scrutiny. Be creative and enjoy the process. God made us all unique. We think differently. We learn differently. Discipline yourself to become more familiar with the Reed-Kellogg procedure, and then allow your God-given creativity to express itself. Discipline, freedom, and creativity work great together. When I studied piano and classical guitar in college, I disciplined myself to practice scales, technique, fingering methods, etc. The funny thing that happened on the way to the store was that the more I disciplined myself in these things, the more freedom of expression I enjoyed in playing. Next, we don't want to be in too big of a hurry. Sometimes we have to stare at the picture to see what was actually there. Another, persevere. As in writing, many times the inspiration is nowhere to be seen at the start, but go ahead and take that first step. Diagram the sentence, break it down, and give God the opportunity to speak to your heart. He will. Exercise freedom. Remember what I said, there are no rules as you develop your system. If it works for you and accurately reflects the relationships within the passage, then it is good. And lastly, live the words. Don't fall in love with the study part. This method will yield tremendous insight, so let the words live in your life. This is where we find life, living by the words of God.
Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Remember, you may contact us at 812-466-9503 and 1-888-419-4418 or at livingbythewordsofgod.com.
Thanks for listening. Dave and Carrie Scott, livingbythewordsofgod.com.